Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, join in the broadcast. Type something when you can hear me and when you can see me. I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. It's going to be a great night. Hopefully my chat loads, you know, usually doesn't like to, but we'll get it figured out here as we get started. It's going to be a great broadcast. We are celebrating the book release today. Let's see if the chat's going to work. There it goes. It's finally working. It only took a couple minutes of me awkwardly staring at the screen. It's all good. Let me make sure that we're live here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Type something when you can hear me, when you can see me. Just going to double check on my phone that we are live. Because Restream updated and doesn't have the chat coming up quickly. There it goes. Everybody's in here. Here we go. I got my book. Yes. People got their books. Today's the day. Drum roll. I should have had like confetti. Hold on. Is there confetti here? Oh, yeah. I do have confetti. Yay. That's so crazy. That kind of like was a lot of confetti there. I haven't done that in a long time. Super excited. Everybody's saying that they got the book. My night is going great. Thank you. All right, confetti again. There we go. The book is out. It is out. It only took me 13 years of saying, I'm going to write a book someday. I'm going to write a book someday. We have audio and video. All right, we're ready for blast off. Here we go. Awesome. I'm reading the chat here. Is the chat working on screen? Yes, it is. Excited, though? Thank you. I know a bunch of you filled out reviews, but Amazon takes time to review the reviews. They have to review the reviews. So I think only there's like 10 or 11 that have come through, but like, tons of you guys have said you filled out reviews, so thank you, those of you that got the book. Take a picture and a video with the book and post it on Amazon. That helps us out a lot. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the book. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Oh, why did I call you Pastor? Oh, it feels weird. Thank you, Mike. Love you, bro. Oh, that's too professional, bro, calling you Pastor Mike. Appreciate you. Mike, what are you doing on Facebook, bro? What is happening? Why are you on Facebook? You're scaring me. You're scaring me, bro. We're too young to be on Facebook, brother. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you, bro. Got yours on pre-order. Come on. Got my copy halfway through it. Amazing. Guys, this is obviously the teachings I've done, the 50-something plus hours put into book form. So a lot of it, you're going to be familiar if you've watched all my videos. If you haven't, you're not. And this book, really, I'll talk a little bit about my heart for it. Let me just make sure that my YouTube is going smooth because I got to contact Restream. The little view count and all that's not working on Restream. Okay, so there is people on. Cool. I posted a review on Amazon. Yeah, I'm going to check the Amazon a little while here. This is just going to be a chill stream. We're going to answer questions on deliverance, talk about deliverance, talk about my heart behind the book. So my heart is a training manual, a guide, a practical guide. Like I made a joke and I posted a short saying, you know, you're not going to hear about me having some vision. I was arm wrestling Jezebel or fighting Leviathan at the bottom of the ocean. It was a joke to say that this is not a super overly complicated, deep, spiritual. Well, it's, of course, it's very spiritual. The whole book is spiritual. But I'm talking about, I'm not over-spiritualizing it, making it more eccentric than it needs to be. This is a practical guide to doing deliverance. So I'm praying that this could be something you put in the hands of friends, of family that are like scared of deliverance. I honestly think this, and I was thinking this as I was preparing for this broadcast. I think this is the first time where deliverance has become mainstream. And I think me, Mike, Vlad, Pagani, and a bunch of other people have made it to where it's no longer taboo. It's no longer in the corner, but deliverance has gone mainstream. And how many of you are glad? Because people need deliverance. People need to be set free. Whenever you're going to forerun a movement or forerun a message that God has given you, you have to be willing to sound crazy to people that aren't there yet. You have to be willing to have that pioneer spirit and say, I'm going to go before, even though people are going to call me crazy. Even though people think I'm nuts, I'm fully aware that there's many pastors, because of my stance on deliverance, think I'm nuts. And that's mind-blowing to me, that people who do deliverance are considered crazy when literally Jesus did it everywhere. Like, this is crazy to me. We're taboo, we're crazy, we're weird Christians, yet we're like, okay, we're supposed to model our lives after, and I'm already preaching, we're supposed to model our lives after Jesus. Jesus did this everywhere. We are his disciples, yet we're crazy. And that's the state of the church. The state of the church is, let me move my fan on me because I'm already getting sweaty. The state of the church is tell people to do things and live a certain way, and then when they do, we call them crazy. Like, all right, we need to be holy. Let's sing songs about holiness. And then you go to your pastor, you're like, yeah, I don't think we should all be going and seeing that movie. Yeah, I don't think we should be listening to that music. Yeah, I don't think we should be drinking and partying. Your pastor's like, you're going too far now. What? You literally told me we're supposed to live holy. You know what the word holy means? To be set apart. To be separate. So we have an issue. We preach things that we don't actually expect people to live. And then when they do live it, we cast them out of the church. We have so many pastors that don't cast out demons. They cast out people that are on fire in their church. We need a revival. We actually do need a deliverance revival. So I'm sorry to say, all those people that hate the ministry of deliverance, it's not our ministry. I do not have a deliverance ministry. My friends do not have deliverance ministries. We just have gospel ministries. We just do what Jesus told us to do. It's not ours. It's Jesus's. And that's what this is about. That's why chapter 2, it's all Jesus. Every story of Jesus doing deliverance, that's the entire chapter. And I wanted to make that in the very beginning of the book because it's not about us. There is no power in the name of Isaiah. There is no power in the name of Mike or Vlad or Pagani or any of us. The power is in the name of Jesus. And so now we were crazy for years. Never gonna this, never gonna grow, never gonna. We're just gonna stay faithful to what God's telling us to do. And now people are getting on board and deliverance is breaking out. And people are seeing deliverance revival. Just don't be a hater. Don't be a hater on the work that Christ did. Again, it's not work that we've done. We haven't done anything but put it into words, make it simple for people, take the scriptures, break them down, and use our platforms to get the message that Christ preached out. And of course, it's not just deliverance. Very little of our channel is deliverance. I have 2,200 videos, and I think maybe deliverance training, 40. Maybe 40 of those videos. I have a deliverance training playlist. I want to say there's 40 to 50 videos. Out of 2,100 videos, we preach repentance. We preach on healing. We preach on holiness. We preach on hell. We preach on heaven. I just did a live stream yesterday on heaven. But we can't overlook that Jesus came to set the captives free. And if it's not through the method or the utilization of exorcism, deliverance, casting out of demons, then how is it happening? We can't just say, someone said, don't be a player hater. We can't just say, oh yeah, we need to see people set free. Okay, how does that look? How does it look to get set free? What do you mean by that? You mean just praying a prayer of faith and then going like, oh, you're fine. You tell people that they're fine, but they stay in bondage. And they're like, yeah, my pastor keeps saying that I'm fine, but I'm not. So we have denial now. We are in denial, and denial is not just a river in Egypt. Denial is a real thing that the church is struggling with. It's paralyzing the church. So I don't know why we're so ashamed of the ministry of Jesus. I don't know why we're so ashamed of casting out demons. I don't know why it's so weird that Jesus did this everywhere, but we don't want to do it anywhere. Like, we can't have that in the church, right? And this is just a laid back stream. We're just talking about deliverance, why I wrote this book. Hang out. We'll do questions and stuff like that. And I don't know. My wife was going to be on, but we had a meeting at the kids' school tonight one of us had to go. And then I'm like, you know what? If we do a stream, like, I don't know. What are we going to do? Me and my wife sitting there like, the book's out. Praise the Lord. So I was like, I'm just going to jump on here, do Q&A, talk about it with you guys. But I just think that we're at a place where we need to start doing what we're reading. When does the Bible come alive? When do we say, I can do this? Jesus said, I've given you the same spirit, the same power, and the same authority. And religion hates that because they want to learn about it, talk about it, but never do it. They love him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. There's a disconnect between what we say we are, what we say we want to do, but then what we actually do. And you know what we are? We're deceiving ourselves. Like a man that looks in the mirror forgets what he looks like. That's what the Bible says. Don't just say. Don't just talk about it. We got to walk this thing out. So that's what it's about. Walking it out. Practical. Easy to understand. I think it's like 200 pages. 200 pages exactly. Good job, publishers. Well, I wrote it. I wrote the entire thing. Every word is from me. No ghostwriter, no input. I wrote it, but good job. However, they made it match to 200 exactly. Bottom line is, I was thinking in 50 years, 60, 70 years, how do we contextualize deliverance? How do we make it simple? How do we make it how to? And that's what it is. And whether you buy it or not, it doesn't really matter. I just want this to be in 50 years, a training manual for people. And I want to see churches do what Jesus told us to do. Jesus told the disciples this, and I don't have no notes or anything. So I'm just flowing here. if you love me, obey my commandments. What was one of the commandments he gave them? If you guys know what a commandment is, it's him telling us to do stuff. One of those commandments was, go preach the gospel, go heal the sick, go cast out demons. If you love me, this is what he told the disciples, obey my commandments. And then later he says, and teach them to observe everything I've commanded of you. So now we've taken this out of the backstage, we've taken this out of the closet, and now it's on the mainstream of Christianity, which is amazing. We're no longer the weird ones. We were for years, and we still are for a majority of the church, but people are going to their pastor saying, we want to see God move. We want to see his power. I don't just want to live this religious mindset of, oh yeah, I believe in God. Okay, well, I want to live it out. I want to walk it out. No more stale, boring Christianity. And if we don't allow it happening in the church, where could it happen? We don't allow it in the church. We don't allow it outside the church. We don't allow it in our houses. Where are we supposed to walk this thing out? Jesus was kicked out. I mean, they didn't want that. No, that's too much. When Jesus cast out demons, the Bible says they gathered. It's okay, Angie. We're just hanging out and flowing here and talking about deliverance. They gathered and told him, please leave our city. They begged him to leave because he delivered a man at the tomb. He delivered the man at the tombs. And they're like, yeah, we don't want this. We want a casual, tame, nice Jesus that is just totally, totally, totally not the Jesus of the Bible. It's another Jesus. So we have to stop fighting against what the Lord's trying to do in our lives. The Lord wants to use you to cast out demons. And I know some of you in the chat are spamming, my church doesn't do deliverance. That's sad. That's sad. How is that? How have we come to this place? And I know we're swimming upstream because we're in a, there's what, how many churches? Somebody Google it. Thousands, tens of thousands, 100,000 in America. And most of them aren't doing what Jesus told us to do. And so it's like, yeah, they get offended when we talk about this. Yeah, they don't like this book. Pastors that are full of pride don't like it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about deliverance. Like, where do we go? Where do we go? Where can we go and get free? Where can we go and see the Lord move in our lives in freedom? 1 John 3:8. For this reason, the Son of God was manifest, to destroy the works of darkness. This is our call. You are called. As a believer, you're responsible. You owe it to your friends and family. And I'm just going like, where's the compassion? I was supposed to do like an intro. This is the intro, I guess. Who cares? I don't know. This is the stream. I don't have anything on the menu. I'm going to read some reviews that got approved on Amazon, and that's going to take me 2 minutes. But where's the compassion? People need help. Where's the empathy for the brokenness? Going like, man, people are hurting and broken. And even just thinking as leaders, like, we have failed people. People are disenfranchised. We owe it to the people to see them get set free. 300,000, 400,000 in the U.S.? Yeah. And where can people go? I'll tell you where they go, to the hospital. That's where they go. They go to mental hospitals because the church isn't there for them. So now we have all these people in mental hospitals that should have been in the church. They should have gotten deliverance in the church, but now they're in the mental hospital talking to themselves, medicated, literal zombies, and the church has failed these people. It's heartbreaking. It's emotional. The church has failed these people. Pastors have failed these people. And then when you stand up and say, what are we doing? You get you're a heretic. You're a false teacher. Guys, do you know how many people call me a heretic and false teacher? And it's always for the same reason. It's always because I believe in casting out demons. This is what happens when you try to swim upstream and say, I see people hurting. I see people bound. We have to do something about it. It's not about getting a book. Who cares? It's just to help train you. It doesn't matter whether you buy it or not. What matters is get some compassion for the hurting. Get some compassion for the lost. Get some compassion. Let it keep you up at night. Toss and turn a few times that your friends and family are bound on every kind of pill you can think of. Well, these pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars on people being demonized. And the church is just cool with it. Fine. Fine that people are bound in my church. Not for me. Not for me. I'm not okay with it. I'm not okay with the church in bondage. I'm not okay with thousands of people bound, mental disorders, mental illnesses. It's like, oh yeah, you mean demonization for a lot of those people? And I know it's like, don't say that, Isaiah, or what? Gonna get canceled? Pastors are gonna think I'm crazy? Who cares? We have to speak up for the broken and the oppressed and the hurting and the disenfranchised in the church. Yeah, I narrate my book, Evan. It comes out next week on Audible. For whatever reason, it took extra week. But we have to speak out. Will they ridicule you? Yes. If you're not being ridiculed, you're doing something wrong. Literally. Jesus goes like, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Now, again, this is all no notes off the cuff here. I'm just sharing my heart and I'm supposed to be doing Q&A. We will at some point. Here's the bottom line. If they hated me, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. The first time they hated him in the Bible is when he cast out demons. That is the first time they tried to kill him. It's the first time his fame spread throughout the land. It's the first time people start saying, there's this guy. He claims to be God. He's the son, saying he's a son of God. He's coming saying he's the Messiah. He's going to take away the sins of Israel. He's speaking the word with authority and boldness. Mark 1. I don't know where this guy came from. The winds and waves obey him. All this stuff people are saying as he cast out demons. Even the demons obey him. And then Jesus goes, in the same way they hated me, they're going to hate you. Okay, so I'm going to be hated. For what? Not for going to church on Sunday. Not for just being a little marshmallow, Sour Patch, Tickle Me Elmo Christian. I'm going to be hated because I'm living like Christ, doing the things that Christ did, saying the things that Christ said. And here's what he said. They hate me because I testify that their works are evil. I call out darkness. I expose the darkness. I call people out. I call people out of darkness into light. I call out the sin that I see in culture, in society, in humanity. We cast out devils. And so, if they don't hate me, maybe it's because I'm one of them. Maybe that's why. And, you know, there was a whole era that I was, of course, not a part of because I was never this famous celebrity pastor or any of that. The only reason why I'm known now is because YouTube. And I made a page and started preaching and teaching like the Lord told me to. But I didn't become famous from being a celebrity pastor or any. I've never had any endorsements from no mega nothing. Never had any denomination promote me. Never had any, was never the cool celebrity pastor with any of the people or any of that. But there was a whole time of like the celebrity pastor era. Anybody remember that? Where all of these pastors wanted to be cool with all the celebrities. Like, oh yeah, I married Kanye West. Oh yeah, I'm friends with Justin Bieber. Do you guys remember that? It's all crumbled now. I'm trying hard not to say any names. But yeah, praise the Lord, that's not around anymore. But it was all about, how can I be friends with celebrities? These are secular, ungodly people that the Bible says don't even envy them at all. Do not look up to celebrities. Do not look up to wicked people. That's what the Bible says. So there was an era where I was like, I want to be like them. And the world loved pastors. They were bringing on talk shows. You guys remember this? They were going on talk shows. They were going on podcasts. And I'm just like, there's something wrong when pastors are going on these secular, ungodly podcasts and nobody's being convicted. Nobody's being challenged. Nobody's being changed, right? And the world loved them. That's wrong. The world shouldn't love us. The world shouldn't love us. They should be hating us because we speak against their works. So we're hated by many. But if you walk in the Spirit, this is the reality of the world. The spirit of the Antichrist is at work in the sons of disobedience. Antichrist, anti-God, hates you, hates me, and we go against it. Thank you guys, all of you that are saying you got my book today. Those of you asking, you can scan the QR code. I conveniently made a little QR code. Where is it at? It's over here? Oh yeah, it's right there. It's on screen with a little cute logo there. But yeah, you could get the QR code by the book. I'm going to check the reviews here in a little bit, but it's just the weird time. It's a weird time. I'm praying that the message of deliverance would no longer be this weird, creepy, taboo, normalized deliverance is what we're doing. And there are people like 2 years ago didn't like me, 3 years ago didn't like me. Now they're kind of like, ooh, I think I should probably learn about this because I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage. That's the thing is, do you know? I'm just spilling all the tea. It's getting all over my keyboard, all over my mouse. Do you know how many pastors are demonized right now? I think that a lot of pastors hate deliverance because they don't want to deal with their own demons. Literally. We should be humble enough to say, if I need deliverance, Lord, deliver me. Somebody, you should not be so arrogant. I'm talking to all of you. As a leader, a pastor, or just a believer, to call your friend and say, hey, I'm demonized. I need freedom. Can you meet with me for prayer? I do that. I'll still do that. I have no problem with it. We should not be so arrogant to say, I need deliverance. You're not less than if you need deliverance. You're not weak if you need deliverance. I'll tell you right now, a bunch of these pastors that have fallen, sorry, I'm getting a bunch of texts. A bunch of these pastors that have fallen, they fell because they didn't get deliverance and they couldn't fight. They weren't strong enough to resist the demons. They fought the demons for so long, they tried and they just gave in. And because they thought deliverance isn't for Christians, which is a lie that I cover. I think it's in chapter 3. I go over the whole Christians having demons. It's a lie. Christians can have demons, exposing the lie. That's the chapter title. Because they're like, oh, Christians can't have demons. They wrestled. They wrestled for so long. We need humility. We need to humble ourselves and say, I need deliverance. I need freedom. Thank you all for saying I got it. I'm reading the chat the whole time, by the way, because I'm not looking at notes or anything. So I'm reading the chat. Appreciate all of you. There's the humility of saying, I need freedom. I'm in bondage. Is anybody, what is gonna get us over this epidemic of megachurch pastors and leaders falling to sexual sin? What is that? How do you get on a stage, preach every single week for 30, 40 years? And this is in the charismatic camp, the Pentecostal camp, the cessationist camp, and all these camps. We're seeing this. They're on stage preaching, and then they're backstage sleeping around, watching pornography, living in complete sin. You're telling me deliverance isn't necessary right now? You're telling me that we don't need deliverance? I'm telling you, we need deliverance now more than we've ever needed it. And we need it in pastors. And this is one of the reasons why we don't want deliverance in the church, because we don't want to expose the demons we have, and we're so arrogant and prideful that we don't want to confront the demons. Why is it so hard to say, I need freedom, I need deliverance? And it's so funny, because when I share this about how, like, as leaders and pastors, we should be humble and go through deliverance and go on, get on our face, repent for our congregation. I don't know why, and I'm just calling them out, pastors with big platforms are afraid to talk like this. I can care less, right? And I'm not even being arrogant when I say this. I have a bigger platform than most of them. I have a bigger channel, bigger YouTube page, bigger TikTok, all that, than most of these pastors that are afraid to come out and say this. I have no pride to salvage. I have no why. Why are we afraid to get on our knees and say, I need freedom, I need deliverance, I'm in bondage, I need to stay humble? Like, I don't care. I don't care. Why have we become so arrogant as leaders? We've propped ourselves up. We now think we're so above the people that we don't need this. I know they love this. The heresy hunters love this. They're going to clip all this up and be like, Isaiah Saldivar saying he needs more deliverance. If I had something in my mind that I'm like, this is not me, this is perverted or dark or demonic, I would call somebody tonight. Hey, bro, I need to go through deliverance. I need help. I need freedom. Why would I not do that? Why would you not do that? I'll tell you why. Pride. When you have pride, you don't think you need deliverance. You don't think you need to learn about deliverance. You don't think you need freedom. You don't think you need help. We got to stay humble. We got to humble ourselves and go, Lord, I need you. I need to walk in freedom. I need to walk in deliverance. Lord, you should pray this tonight. You really like the cover. Thank you. You should pray this tonight. Lord, help me to walk in compassion. Humble me, Lord. I want to see people free around me. God, I want to do deliverance. Every single one of you, which my view counts not working tonight, which is probably a good thing, because I actually like it. In the last 2 weeks, my view thing on the app I use for chat hasn't worked. It's like a bug in the system. And I'm like, this is actually good because it doesn't affect me. When the views are down, I don't care because I can't even see how many people are on. I just see the chat, which is great. So I don't know how many of you are on here, but every single one of you should be doing deliverance. At the very least, you should know how to do it. Okay. And again, I don't care whether I'm a terrible salesman. I don't care whether you buy the book or not, to be honest. It doesn't matter. If you want to buy it, you can. If not, it's a resource. You can literally just watch all my videos for free on YouTube if you can't afford the book. I think it's like $13 on Amazon, but whatever. All right, I'm supposed to be like, you gotta sell your book, push it. I don't really care. Whatever it takes to get you to say, I'm going to start doing what Jesus told me to do. And you know what's crazy is when you start ministering to people and casting out demons, it is going to revitalize you. There are some of you right now on spiritual life support. You are dying spiritually. You're so hungry for God to move in your life. Here's what you don't realize. When you pour out to other people, you get poured into yourself. The missing component is you're not ministering to people. Thank you, End Time Headlines. Appreciate you, bro. You're awesome. The missing component is why you're dry and empty and shriveled up spiritually. Well, that's kind of a weird word. Made me feel weird on the inside. Why you're shriveled up spiritually and dry like the Mojave Desert is because you're not ministering to anybody. So when you don't pour out and minister in healing and deliverance or whatever, preaching anything, just do anything for God, then you don't have that refreshing. Yeah, it's at Barnes & Noble as well. You don't have that refreshing, that filling where the Holy Spirit fills you and refreshes you. I will tell you this, is deliverance draining? Yes and no. It's draining in that you pour out, but it's refreshing as you pour out, the Lord refreshes you and pours back into you. But when you don't minister, your cup stays full and you're just full all the time and you're overweight spiritually. Some of you literally are so overweight spiritually, you're like, I just need somebody to feed me. Yeah, because you're like the guy on my 1,000 pound life who you're so overweight, you can't even get up and go to the pantry that you need somebody else to feed you on Sunday morning. Because you're spiritually overweight because you don't ever exercise your faith. So you're overweight. You're like, feed me, brother. I need to come get another extra large Revelation pizza. It's like, no, you just need to exercise your faith and go do something for God. Go cast out a demon. Go lay hands on the sick. Go preach the gospel. Go do something. Oh, I hate work. Yeah, it's because you have none. That's why you think my gospel is a workspace gospel. The only people that will ever say this is workspace are people that have no works, that don't understand that works are important. You get judged on your works, according to Revelation. We're not saved by works. Works are evidence we've received salvation. They're not to gain salvation. They're not the gateway to salvation. They're the fruit of salvation. I taught about that last night. Go watch my video. But it's only the spiritually overweight people that go like, it's not about works, brother. Just because you're spiritually overweight, you don't exercise your faith. You just go and watch other people exercise. You go to the gym and watch other people work out expecting to get results. It's like, no, you're just watching. This is what we teach people. Watch me minister. That's why, guys, I don't really like this whole help me, Lord. I don't like this whole come to the church, see me pray and do deliverance on people. Line up and everybody watch me. I'm the man of God. Bring them on stage. And I know I'm probably stepping on toes and I probably have friends that are like, stop, Isaiah. I'm just going to say what I feel because it encourages you to keep being a spectator. I don't do that. I don't ever do prayer lines. I'll walk through the stage or the altar and pray for people as I feel led. But what do I tell you guys every time? Don't look to me. I have no power. I have no authority. There's nothing that can happen in the name of Isaiah. I will pray for people as I feel led. I don't do prayer lines. You don't grab onto my long sleeve. There's no power in the hem of my long sleeve. There's a prayer team. They will pray for you. They're empowered. We have to empower the body of Christ. That's what this is about. Empowering the body of Christ. No more one man show. But we have instead 3-hour services where we just follow one man of God around. It's like, oh, that's the man of God. He's anointed. I don't know. I just don't think that's how it is. Bro's about to get canceled for real. Bro, I get canceled every single stream, every single video I make. I'm like professional at getting canceled. But canceled by who? The heresy hunters? The Pharisees? The religious people? I mean, I don't even care what they think because I don't want what they have. That's another thing. So many of you, I need to change the title of this video to take it off Q&A. So many of you worry about what people think that don't even have what you want. Aren't you worried? No, I'm not worried. I don't care. I don't want what the religious people have. I don't want to be a part. I don't want to go to that church. It's like when I started speaking, since I'm already canceling myself, I might as well just keep canceling myself. I don't even believe in getting canceled. But anyways, when I started speaking about Trump and about how I'm voting for him and against demonic Kamala Harris, people are like, you're not going to get invited to certain churches that you've been to for years because they're in support of Kamala. Like, bro, I don't want to go to those churches. People are making comments like, my pastor's not going to invite you anymore because he's pro Kamala Harris. Like, brother, I don't want to go there. If your pastor is pro a baby murderer supporter, a child mutilator, a child sacrificer, a child, these people are all perverts. That's literally what they are. I don't know how else to say it. People are like, man, I'm trying to bring my kids on your stream and then you start going off on this. That's just what it is. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't care. I don't want what you have. I don't want to be a part of your church because it's in perversion. Because it's supporting perverted doctrines, perverted ideologies, perverted policies. These people are wicked. We need deliverance, guys. This is like, and you know what's, I think one of the things that's pushing the deliverance movement forward. Here's one thing. 6 years ago when I started pushing online, right? I've been preaching deliverance for 13 years since I got saved. Doing deliverance since the couple days after getting saved. But here's the thing. Now, when I started at the end of 2020, when the Lord told me to really teach on deliverance, it was still like weird. You're still a weirdo, crazy. But now it's becoming mainstream because the devil's not hiding and he's out in the open. Now everything's like openly demonic. And people are like, oh, baby Isaiah and Mike and Pagani and Vlad and all the guys, right? That I could name a bunch that are speaking out. Praise the Lord. Greg Locke, all these guys. Maybe Jenny Weaver. Maybe they're not crazy like we thought, right? Because they used to say, brother, you think everything's demonic. They don't say that anymore. Because I'm like, I'll stop saying everything's demonic when everything stops being demonic. But now it's every show, every video. Oh, let's just go here. Disney came out with another movie. How much you want to bet there's going to be some gayness in there? How much you want to bet there's going to be witchcraft? How much you want to bet there's going to be three dads, four moms, two squirrels married to four cats? How much you want to bet? I don't bet. I don't believe we should gamble as Christians. But I literally, if I was a betting person, I would be like, I bet 100%. 100% odds that every single new thing is going to have some demonic, twisted thing in it. How much you want to bet? Like the Grammys, right? It's like, oh, the Grammys. What do you think? You think it's going to be demonic? Duh. You think these new policies that these celebrities are pushing are going to be demonic? Duh. You think the agenda Taylor Swift gets behind is demonic? Duh. It's like everything. Name something that isn't. What's wholesome now? The demonic epidemic. But thank the Lord that he's raising up voices in this hour. And I'm not the only one. I'm one of them that's helping forerun it. And I'm trying to highlight guys like Don Dickerman that has gone before me. I think he needs way more credit. I think he needs way more applause for what he's been doing for so many years. He's in his 80s now, and he's been doing deliverance. He's written the foreword on our book, and I'm praying that him, even just having him on the foreword, is going to help propel him as well. Even after he's passed away, that the message will still get out. His books will continue to go out. But everything, it's so... You're on a roll tonight? Thank you. I'm glad, Josiah, because I have no notes, so I'm like, I'm just flying blind. I'm swimming in the deep end tonight because I was like, I'm going to get on here and answer questions. I don't know. But the Lord's given me stuff to say. Everything is demonic. Everything. There's nothing wholesome anymore. Every movie. Netflix has a new movie. Oh, we already know there's going to be demonic stuff in it. You literally can't find. And so the Lord goes, okay. The devil wants to be in everything. The Lord says, I'll be in everything. The devil wants to be in every movie. The Lord's like, I'll get in the theaters. I'll have the Domino Revival. I'll have Come Out in Jesus' Name. I'll have the Domino Revival too. I'll release my own documentaries. I'll combat it. I'll war. Oh, the devil wants to get millions of views and have all these famous YouTubers worship and praise him. I'll raise up some Christian YouTubers. And they're not going to be afraid. They're not going to be, you can't buy us out. We don't care. We're not on anybody's payroll. I have no salary. I haven't been on salary in 13 years. Nobody. You guys are the ones supporting me. You guys are the ones funding this ministry. So I don't have sponsorship deals. I don't know. I was thinking about maybe next year because, you know, finances are up and down. And I'm like, hey, our finances are pretty low right now. I'm like, maybe we should take some of these. But I was like, I don't even know if any sponsorships will even work with me. They're going to, you can't say this. If anybody tells me I can't say something, I'm not working with them. Do not tell me that I can't call out demonic stuff. We have to be the ones calling this stuff out. Testifying dark. The Bible says expose the works of darkness. So we can't be bought. You cannot be bought. You cannot be a sellout and be worried about filtering yourself and filtering the gospel. And you can't say this, you can't say that. We're going to say it because it needs to be called out. The devil is unapologetic. When is the church going to get unapologetic? The devil's not afraid of being bold. The devil's not afraid. The devil doesn't apologize. It's like, oh, should I be apologetic for being so bold about deliverance? People always are like, you talk about deliverance too much. And sometimes, like, there's 1% of me that's like, oh, maybe I should apologize. And then the Lord's like, what are you going to apologize for? The Lord's like, you're going to apologize for talking about what I did too much? You're going to apologize. I've shared this story before. I was at a mega church and I was about to preach. And I was like, and the Lord told me to preach on deliverance. This is years ago. I'm like, oh, I don't know, Lord. I don't really want to. And I felt ashamed. Like, they're going to think I'm the demon guy. I don't want to be that demon guy. I don't want to be the guy that's always, but the Lord's like, oh, you're ashamed of me? I literally felt in the green room, the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and basically in so many words being like, why are you ashamed of me? When did you become ashamed of me? Because that's, if I'm ashamed of deliverance, it's me being ashamed of him because it's not my work. It's not something I'm doing. It's the Lord. Why are we ashamed of the Lord? Is your family going to think you're nuts? Of course. There's people that think I'm crazy. I don't care. I understand. I get it. I knew the cost when I got involved and the Lord told me to be a vocal voice. But you know what? It's worth all the criticism you're going to get if one person gets set free. For that 12-year-old girl to say, I no longer want to take a razor to my arm in the shower. That one girl getting free is worth 1,000 people criticizing you, criticizing me, criticizing us, saying we're crazy. Don't care. Don't care, won't care. I'll never care because it's worth it. Jesus put himself in a place of being ridiculed and criticized to do the mission that the Father called him to do. And then says, ugh, you're also going to be that way. You're also going to be criticized. They're also going to call you nuts. But who cares? You were unashamed in the world. Why are you ashamed now? You did some filthy. Help me, Lord. That's all I'll say is filthy things. You had no shame. No shame in your party game. No shame in what you were doing. Now you're a Christian. You're afraid. I'm scared. They're going to call me what? Crazy? They used to call you crazy in the world. Who cares if they call you crazy for God? I'm afraid to be too passionate, too radical, and too excited. And there's a lot of pastors that are like, love what you're doing, brother. Yeah, I know. You do in the DMs. You love what I'm doing in the DMs. You'd never comment. You'd never let anybody know you're associated with me. You secretly love what I'm doing because you're ashamed of the work that Jesus did. Why? Why be ashamed? It's worth seeing people free. Let's let our hearts break with compassion. Let us be motivated and by empathy. Where is our empathy? Where is our, like, this person's sick. There's people sick in your... There's people sick in body right now, friends and family, that will there will never be a cure for them. There will be no medicine. There will be no chemo. There will be nothing a doctor can do to help them. And it's possible they will die of a sickness that is not related to anything physical, but it is a demon that can only be cured by deliverance ministry. Think about that. Do you know right now there's people in our lives, in our life, that have life-threatening sicknesses that are connected to demonic spirits? Don't believe me? Go to Luke chapter 13. There was a woman bent over for 18 years. Everybody around her would have said it was a physical ailment. She's bent over. She has arthritis in her back. She has scoliosis. She has a disease. She has this, whatever they called it then. Jesus shows up to the synagogue and everything changed that day because Jesus goes, this isn't a physical sickness. This is a demon. She's bound by Satan. And doesn't she... And this was the heart behind this book. This one concept in Luke 13. Somebody asked me to interview. I've been doing a bunch of interviews. I have three interviews tomorrow for radio shows and stuff. But here's what they asked me. What's the heart? What's the motivation behind your deliverance ministry? Which I'm like, I get what they're trying to say, but I don't even like calling it deliverance ministry. It's just the ministry of Christ that we're doing. It should be normal. I don't even know why it's rare. I don't even know why... Anyways... This is the heart. The woman in Luke 13, that's heart, that's bent over, that's lived a life of being a cripple, cannot live normal. Every single day she's in pain. Every single day she can't get dressed right. She can't do anything right. She can't live normal. She is crippled, bent over, doubled over because of a demon. No doctor can help her. No physician, nobody can help her. One day, everything changes. Because there's a man named Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, that shows up to a synagogue that she's been to a bunch of times. And there Jesus is, calls her to the center of the room. Women were not allowed in the middle or the center. They had to stand against the walls in the very edges of the synagogue. And here Jesus calls her over to the limelight and realizes, honey, this is not physical. This is not, everybody around your family said, oh, you just need medication. They're just clinical depression. And I'm not trying to make light of it. Some people do, but most people don't. If you know, you know. They just have schizophrenia. They just have depression. They just have anxiety. They just have, blah, 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 blah. They just have cancer. They just have a back problem. They just have a neck issue. They just have, and all of these things we've labeled. And some sicknesses are that. But then Jesus goes, nope, none of those things. It's a demon. Luke 13, Jesus delivers her from the demon. And then guess who's mad? The religious people. Here the Pharisees are. Why'd you do that on the Sabbath? And Jesus says this. And this is the heart behind what we're called to do. not just what I wrote the book for and you guys and all that and our ministry and what we're going to keep doing going into 2025 and the services we're doing and all of that. This is what he says. He goes, doesn't she deserve to be loosed? Doesn't she deserve to be free? He goes, you are mad that I untied this daughter of Abraham who was bound by Satan. He goes, but you guys on the Sabbath, go untie your donkey. You untie your donkey on the Sabbath, but you're mad I untied her. Doesn't the world, doesn't our friends and family deserve to be untied? Doesn't my friends and family deserve to be loosed? Don't we owe it to them? Where is our compassion? You know what we do, though? I need to do more streams where I have no notes and I could just flow like this because I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. We say, that's just how things are. What if the entire way we view the world is wrong and these things aren't just the way they are and it's not just all mental, it's not just all physical, it's not just all go to the doctor and get a pill. And there's a place for all of that. I am not speaking against medicine. Luke was a physician and he wrote the book of Acts. There's a place for physicians, of course. We know that. My kids are sick. I'm going to pray for them. And if the Lord doesn't heal them for whatever reason, I'll take them to the doctor. I'm not against medical in any way, shape, or form. What if we viewed the lens of the world as everything spiritual and some things are not just physical, they're spiritual? And maybe that's the reason why you've gone to every doctor and nobody can figure out why you're sick. When it's a demon, we need deliverance. When it's physical, get a doctor. When it's spiritual, get deliverance. But we don't view the world as that. We just think everything, oh yeah, just go, okay, it's normal. It's like, oh wait, maybe there's a spirit. Maybe I can pray for you. Maybe I can pray for you and cast the demon out of you. Instead of just saying like, oh, we need to go. We just need to go to the doctor. We just need to go get, or maybe it's a spirit. Because I look at Jesus, I'm like, he cast demons out of kids. He cast demons out of women. He cast demons out of men in the synagogue. Mark 139, synagogue to synagogue, casting out demons. For those of you that are like, we don't need this anymore. Are the demons just, they all left? Because when I look at society, I see our society more demonized now than they've ever been. That's how I see society. I see people in more bondage now than they've ever been. More needing it now than they... We need deliverance now more than we've ever needed it before. Yet we have doctrines. I was going to say popular. I mean, they're popular amongst the religious people, but they're not really popular, honestly. Cessationism's dying. I hate to tell you guys. It's dying. There's no on-fire, relevant guys that are cessationists that God's raising up. You don't want to know why? Because God's not behind that movement. You ever wondered why there's all these young, fiery guys that God's raising up and growing their platforms to millions of subscribers, millions of followers, millions of this, and they're all charismatic and they preach the truth. And then you look at the cessationists and you're like, I don't know any guys like that are staunch cessationists. Maybe one or two, if that. It's dying out. Maybe because the Lord's not in it. Maybe because the Lord's not promoting it. The only guys that are these, and I'm not trying to be racist. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just being factual. These older white guys that are hanging on to that religious system, dying traditional system that's not biblical, it's not scriptural, it's an antichrist gospel that says God doesn't heal like that anymore, God doesn't deliver like that anymore, God doesn't move like that anymore, God doesn't use people. The devil uses people, they say. The devil's using Taylor Swift, the devil's using Beyonce, they say that, but then they don't believe God is using people in that way. Yet the Lord, in his grace and mercy, is raising up revivalists in this hour, firebrands in this hour. That cessationist crash, I don't know how else I can say it. Gotta be nicer about it. That's the nicest thing I can think. Is dying out. People don't want to hear it anymore. Who wants to go to church on Sunday to hear about what God isn't doing anymore? Yeah, tongues, not for today. That was just for the... And gifts and miracles, not for today. Who really wants to hear that? And who are you to say that? Not in the Bible. You have no verse for it. I love what Dr. Brown says. He's always like, cessationism, the argument's lost because they don't have the Bible. All you have to do if you want to debate a cessationist and win is use scripture. Just use the Bible because they don't have that to stand on. Yet they claim to be the most scripturally accurate people. God is raising people up that are just on fire and they're preaching his word. And they're seeing people get free and they're seeing people get delivered and they're doing it on the streets. And they don't need permission from the old guard, the traditional guard. People are hungry in this hour. People are hungry in this generation. They want to see the Lord move like he moved in the Bible. The Bible says he's the same. He's the thanks, Jared. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our God doesn't cast a shifting shadow. He is unchanging. That means when the sun goes up and casts a shadow, God is not up and down. He's consistent through the generations. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need this in the church. We need that. You need, I'm prophesying over somebody. All right. I don't know why I keep getting called from 1-800 number. Stop calling me, please. Thank you. We need deliverance in our families. For the generation your kids are raising up in, moms and dads, listen to me. If you don't have kids, just stay with us. But this does not apply to you. You literally have to learn to do deliverance. You have to do it. I just don't really know. I'm scared. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of the dark. You're a grown adult. Turn the flashlight on, the light of Christ. You literally have to know. Do not tell me that you have kids and you don't know how to do deliverance. Your kids need this. And you might not be able to bring them to. Thank you, Missy's message, for saying the channel helped me. I'm going to read the Amazon reviews in the book in a moment, okay? Guys, I'm honest. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to apologize, though. I'm going to be honest without apologizing. I plan to do a Q&A. That's what I was planning to do. But we can do a Q&A Thursday. We do Q&A every week anyway. I did not plan any of the stuff I said tonight. I really feel the Holy Spirit's speaking through me. I'm inspired by him. But I just want to get this part behind the book out. I had none of it on notes. I didn't write any notes for tonight. I was actually just like, oh, I don't even know if I'm going to have anything to say. This might be a quick stream. But the Holy Spirit's inspired me. Okay, but just so you know. And I'm sorry if those of you had questions. Maybe we'll take some after or something like that. And we're for sure going to be live Thursday at noon doing Q&A. So we could do that and all that. But here's what I want to say. And I feel the Lord leading me to say this. And I feel like everything I'm saying tonight, the Lord's leading me to say. But if you are a parent, this is the hour to learn deliverance. Okay? And this is not a book pitch. The book teaches you practically, but it's not a book pitch. You could literally, I know my publisher's like, don't say that. But I'm like, you could literally get the information on my channel for free. But here's the thing. Your kids, you owe it to your kids to know how to do deliverance. You owe it to your kids to know how to cast demons out because they need it. The devil is pouring out on them. He's pouring out on this generation. He's pouring out on our kids. He's pouring out on our family. And we are the resistance, moms and dads. Now, I don't want to just speak to the men because I know a lot of you ladies are like, my husband, he's not a Christian. All he does is watch football and play video games all day. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you married an adult child. I'm sorry about that. We're going to pray for him, and hopefully the Lord will deliver him and save him from his video game and football addiction, and he'll become a man and do what God's called him to do in his home. But for some of you ladies, you got to know this. You got to be able to do deliverance for your friends, for your family, for the people around you, for your kids. You owe it to your kids. You owe it to your kids to know how to cast the demons out of them. Because the devil's looking, trying so hard. And he's real. He's not fake. He's real. The Bible says he's real. He's the lowercase god of this world. He's the ruler of this world. And he's trying to do everything in his power to get into your kid's life. You are the resistance. Don't rely on the children's pastor, the youth pastor, the assistant associate pastor of the senior pastor, global leader, apostle. Don't rely on the barbecue pastor at your church. The video game pastor. Don't rely on all the pastors to do deliverance for your kids. Don't rely on me. I just got to get them to Isaiah's meeting. No. You need to get them to your living room, put on some worship music, and have a family prayer night. And say, we're going to see if there's anything there, and we're going to pray for you. I've done this with my kids. I prayed deliverance over my kids. We need to do that to our kids. We owe it to our kids. Imagine the man that brought his demonized son to Jesus. If he knew how to do deliverance, he could have done deliverance right there. And thankfully, after Jesus died, well, this was before the cross, so he didn't have the authority or power to, but let's just pretend it was after the cross. Jesus says, I've given you my spirit now. So that doesn't even apply to us, him bringing him to Jesus. We don't even have to bring him to a special evangelist. We can do it. We can do it. We can have family prayer and say, I am going to bring my kid to Jesus. I'm going to do deliverance on my kid. I'm not going to wait for somebody. I'm trained. I'm equipped. I'm ready. I'm armed and dangerous. I got the same spirit that raised Christ in me. I can do this. I can do this. You can do this. We're turning the page. We're in a new era right now. There is a deliverance revival happening. Open up your eyes. It's a revival to an ancient ministry that Jesus started. We're not going to apologize. We're not going to be afraid. If people hate us, oh well. If we don't get invited to sit at the cool table in the cafeteria, oh well. If we don't get invited to the cool podcast, oh well. Who cares? Who honestly even cares? Really, doesn't really matter. If people at our jobs think we're weird, oh well. If people at wherever you go, pickleball, think I'm weird, oh well. I don't care. I'm not going to apologize. It's real. It's true. And I'm giving my life for this. I'm not playing. Guys, if you think that this is like a game to me, it's like, oh, I'm just going to play social media, cute little lights in the back flickering. I'm just going to do this for a few years. This is my life. This is my calling. This is everything. This is true. It's real. And if the gospel is really as real as we say it is and think it is and believe it is, it's worth giving everything for. When she broke her alabaster box, everyone said, what a waste. No, it's not a waste. I'm pouring out my life to him. I'm wasting my life to him. I'm giving up everything. I want all of it. I didn't give everything to just see a little bit. I didn't give everything to join a country club. When I got saved, God said, Isaiah, join my army. Stop looking at yourself as some Sunday morning pew warmer, social club, golf club, church member. You are an army in God's almighty kingdom. You are a soldier in God's army. You guys are an army. You are an army that God has raised up. That's why Paul said, Timothy, you're a good soldier. Don't get stuck in the affairs of civilian life. Don't get wrapped up on what's going on in the world. Don't waste your time on worldly things. You are a soldier. Man up. Tighten up the boots. Get the sword. Spit out the pacifier. Time to stop wearing a diaper. You're an adult. Man up. Stop making excuses and start making disciples. Seriously, we have to be babied. Like, oh, don't offend them. No, you need to get offended. We got to start doing this stuff. People are like, oh yeah, I've read comments like, Isaiah, he's so mean to his people. Imagine telling an army general who's yelling at his trainees, 10 more push-ups. He's doing it because he knows they're going to go to battle and they're not ready. So don't take it personal. Take it as, oh, you're right. I do need to get serious. I'm not mad at you. I love every single one of you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be live right now. I love every single one of you. I think you're all amazing. I want to hang out with all of you. If I could, I literally would. I love people. I do. If you've met me at any of the events, I actually genuinely love people. If you've met me out in public in the wild and you come up to me, I'm like, I love when people come up to you. I love talking to people. I love hanging out. I'll hang out all day. We could talk till 2 o'clock in the morning. We could play pickleball and hang out and eat Wingstop. I'm down. I love you. It's not personal. It's conviction. Because I'm like, you got it. You got to go higher. There's more for you. There's more for you. There's a higher calling. We got to get out of this baby stuff. Get out of the nursery and get into the army of God. 52-minute rant. That's probably the longest sermon rant I've ever given. Give me 1 second. So, oh yeah, I have a book that came out today. Yay, confetti. We're going to read some reviews right now. Yay, the book came out. Awesome. Oh wait, I have fireworks here too. Yay. The book's out. Cool. I'll tell you guys this. I'm not a writer. I've written thousands of sermons, but it's so hard for me to write. This book was not easy for me. It took me like 70 hours. I did it in 10 days, which you're supposed to, I should tell my publisher that. But yeah, you're supposed to take like 6 months and do it, but I just can't be bothered. I was like, I'm just gonna sit down and do it. God's gonna give me the grace, the anointing. It took me like 10 days, 8 to 10 hours a day. You can ask my wife. It was intense. I've been saying for 13 years. I don't know if this is going to be my last book ever. I just know that I had to get this out. Not for right now. And I'm glad you're buying it. Thank you. I'm excited. Thank you. Celebrations. Yay. Confetti. Fun stuff. But honestly, that's not really what's exciting to me. What's exciting is if the Lord doesn't return in 100 years, no, it's not AI. It's not AI. It's all me. I wrote it. By myself. I didn't use any AI. There's no nothing. It was all me. Okay. But here's the thing. 100 years from now, if the Lord tarries, I want this to be a training manual for our grandkids, our great grandkids. It's timeless. It's scriptural. It's going to help you out. So let me check out. I told you guys I would read some of the Amazon reviews. I know some of you are frustrated because Amazon didn't load your review, right? And they take time to do it. So let me see if there's any here. I think there's like four or five. I'm going to read them. And then you can pre-order it. Let's get it to number one. It was number one. Oh, yes. 14 reviews loaded in. Amazon approved 14 reviews. So please, if you get the book, it's going to take a little while, but please, 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 please leave a review. That means a lot. Yeah, there's no AI. I mean, come on, guys. Am I really going to use AI to write a book and then try to sell it to you guys? That's does not get any lamer than that. It's number two in Pentecostal and Charismatic. It was number one for a long time, and I'm grateful for that. It's number three in Christian Spiritual Warfare. It's number 15 in Christian Spiritual Growth books, and it's number 933 of all books, which is awesome. It's amazing. I think it is eligible for the New York Times bestseller, so I don't know how that works. The publishers know, and we'll see if it goes through or not. I don't really care if it says New York Times bestseller or not. Again, it doesn't matter to me. I want to get people trained and equipped, and that's all that matters. So here we go. Thank you guys for all reviewing. Thank you, guys. 14. All right, I'll say your name, and then I'm going to read your review. Thank you guys for writing reviews. Please, every single one of you, if you got on Amazon, write a review. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you read it and you're like, I've heard this before, it's because you watch me too much, and I'm grateful. I hope you read it and you're like, yeah, I've heard all this, because that means you watch me a lot. Of course, that's not going to be a story for everybody. I highly encourage you to get it for friends and family as well. What is it, like $13? How much is it for you guys? It shows up on my Amazon as it was 13 yesterday. It changes every day, but it's like 14.49 right now on my Amazon, which I thought inflation was crazy. I did not know. That seems cheap to me. I don't know. I don't really buy books much, to be honest. So I don't know how good that price is, but I know that if I order sushi right now on DoorDash, it's like $19 for one roll. So yeah, I have no problem DoorDashing a roll of sushi. This is like way cheaper than sushi, and sushi's not going to get a demon out of you. It's probably just going to give you heartburn. All right. We'll have some fun here and read these. All right, here we go. All right, Sally Mae. So I received a copy of How to Cast Out Demons by Isaiah Saldivar. I love Isaiah's ministry and his straightforward style of teaching. If you didn't know I was straightforward, you know tonight. His ministry has helped me grow in the walk with Christ, and I'm blessed to support him in his writing career. Let's go. Sister, you must be prophesying, because I didn't even know I had a writing career. But I guess I technically do now. As I splash water on my face, that's cool. 13 to 16. Okay, cool. Yes, for those of you asking, I'm the one that read it. So the voice is not AI. It's not chapter 4. I actually read it, which is cool. All right, someone said, good quality, arrived on time. We'll update the review once finished reading. And they posted pictures. Thank you, Vitaly. Michael Dover. I started listening to Isaiah about a year ago and have had undergone a radical transformation, getting born again and having demons cast out of me. All I hear is God asked me why I haven't started doing the same for his people. This book is the ultimate tool to grow deeper and more spiritually aware of everything God has promised. I hope more people pick up this book and start performing the miracles that Brother Isaiah has thoughtfully and clearly outlined. Bro, thank you. Michael Dover, when's your book coming out, brother? Thank you. Diane Stevens, the legend. Thank you, Diane. All the mods are amazing. I was happy to receive my copy of Isaiah Saldivar's book. It really opens the eyes of the reader as someone who can unknowingly become demonized and lays out the basic foundations of how to get set free. Your guys' reviews are as good as the book. I'm serious. The truth is that we ignore Satan's kingdom at our own peril. The spiritual world is very real, and there's a very real war that we are a part of. In the Bible, we see countless of examples of Jesus healing the sick and casting out demons. This book highlights scriptures, and it helps the reader identify 8 signs that someone may have a demon, open doors in our lives that can lead to demonization, and steps to be set free. Isaiah even goes over how to deal with stubborn demons and how to break mental strongholds and avoid these deliverance mistakes. I highly recommend anyone who is serious about their spiritual walk. Diane Stevens! Absolute legend. Thank you. Thank you. Elizabeth, the life-changing. This is a must-have. It'll help you get free and set others free as well. Isaiah Saldivar. It's okay. I think you just typoed. Knows what he's talking about. Everything is 100% based on the Bible. Get the book and start doing deliverance. Let's go. Lonica. So far, I cannot put the book down. I respect the transparency. I definitely recommend it for you guys. Isaiah is an amazing evangelist. Holy Spirit-led. No nonsense. I would suggest following him on all platforms. Thank you, sister. The Lord used him in my life in a great way. This book is a bonus and an excellent tool to break the altars of darkness. Let's go. I'm 5 pages in, and I'll continue reading after the stream ends and after Jared and Candace's stream ends. Let's go! Jared and Candace got a shout out on the Amazon review. But so far, it's great. Your writing's great. I know you said it was a bit iffy, but in my opinion, your writing's awesome. Thank you. I have no clue if I'm a good writer at all or if the book's good. I know, like I said, I know the content's good, but I don't read many books, and I didn't like watch any YouTube on how you should write. I haven't done English since I was in college, which was 12 years ago. So I have no clue. Those of you that are like poets, you're probably like, oh yeah, it's basic, but it's okay. It's good. I feel like I have a gift to break things down that are complicated in an easy way to understand. So hopefully my writing reflects that. All right. It's so great. Your writing's great. I know you. I'm reading your book the way I think you would say each and every sentence. The fast, charismatic, energetic, non-stuttering talking. I'm so excited to keep on reading. And yes, you should write a book on what happened in your living room. Keep on doing what you're doing, brother. Thank you. Emily. Have followed Isaiah's teaching for years and have learned so much. So excited for the new book. Thank you. And Jared and Cass will be going live in like probably around 10 minutes with worship and prayer. So be ready for that. I found Isaiah's channel a few months after getting saved. At the time, the church had only one service for a week because it's a small church, but I needed more word. And I found Isaiah's channel and nonstop fire. Now our church has multiple services and helped me stay on fire. Waited 4 years for this book. Let's go. Let's go. Amazing book. Would 100% recommend. Amazing author. Absolutely love it. Glad I bought it. Thank you. Again, if I don't read your review, it's probably waiting to be approved on Amazon. They've reviewed like 14 today, but all right. Super excited for the book. Thank you so much, Yuritsa. Super excited for the book. Been following Isaiah for years. This man of God is on fire. He desires everyone to be saved, healed, and delivered. I know the Holy Spirit guided him in writing this book. God bless you, man of God, and your family. Thank you, Yuritsa. All right. Lamaha. Only on the second chapter and loving it. So full of scripture and easy to read. I'll burn through this in a few days. Already getting so much information. You should get this book for you and your pastor. Okay, so far, those have all been 5-star reviews. So thank you guys. I love you guys. But we got a 2-star review. Okay, so I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to be rude. Everybody can give a review. If you think it's 1-star, then give it a 1-star. But it's up to you. What's up, Michael? What did he say? Somebody's laughing at what he said. I want to see. When we got home, Angela opened the package and started reading it. I was trying to tell her something and she completely ignored me. I was like, hello. She goes, already on page 10. Oh, thank you, Michael and Angela. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. All right. Are you guys ready for the 2-star review? This is from Tiffany. Thank you, Tiffany. Shout out to Tiffany for 2 stars. And I'm going to read it how she wrote it. I don't personally understand the review, but you guys might have better wisdom of what she's trying to say. But she said, a demon, this is the title of her review. A demon cannot cast out a devil. Okay, still I have no clue yet, but this is what she said. I'm going to read it how she wrote it. I'm not making things up here. How many people do you know are on the kingdom of light? A demon on the kingdom of darkness cannot in no way, shape, or form can cast out another devil. A house divided cannot stand. So, Tiffany, I have no clue what you're talking about. A demon are on the kingdom of light and a demon are on the kingdom of darkness can cast out a devil. I have no clue what you're saying, sister, but thank you for the 2-star review. Maybe you can edit it so it makes more sense. I would love to know why you give 2 stars and what you're even talking about, but I don't know what you mean by being on the kingdom of light or on the kingdom of the devil or a demon casting out a devil. Not sure, but thank you. All right, 5 stars, a book for today's church. Thank you so much. No name there. Thank you. Excited, pre-ordered, ready to read. Super excited to get this in a month in advance. This month in advance, my husband and I watch Isaiah constantly. Thank you so much, Miranda. Cheryl. Thank you. Said Isaiah's a young man on fire for the Lord. He's moved my heart many times. This book will help me with my calling. God gave me at the Breakers in Chicago in October to do deliverance for him. Isaiah's not afraid to speak for the Lord, and I plan to use his book for deliverance ministry. Thank you, young sir. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. I know I'm going to get hate reviews, and I'm here for it. Okay, I'm here for it. I don't mind at all. I actually think it's kind of entertaining when people... I just have to make a point. Everybody that comes in here that's like, you're a false teacher, they never could spell. I don't know what Bible college all of these people are going to that are, call me heretics or call me false, but none of them know how to spell. So let's get Grammarly installed on the Heresy Hunter phones. Let's get a grammar lesson. I don't have the best grammar, so I have no room to talk, but just saying. If you're going to call somebody out, at least try to do it with proper grammar so we understand you. All right. Daniel said, I highly recommend, according to the Bible, we are called to cast out demons. This book and Isaiah's teaching have helped me understand deliverance better and dig deeper into spiritual meat. God bless his ministry, and thank you, Lord, for my personal radical deliverance. Thank you so much, bro. This book will be a product of the goodness of God in years to come. Thank you, Isaiah. Jesus wins. Thank you, Chris Rock. And then Fryer said, this is a critical deliverance restore. An amazing book. I look forward to reading and applying it to my walk and helping others. To God be the glory through Isaiah. Thank you, Isaiah, for being diligent and obedient to the Lord. Thank you guys for all the kind reviews. And thank you, Tiffany, for giving us a little bit of laugh. A little laugh there about demons being on the kingdom of light. I'm not sure what it means, but thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. I have no clue who that is. I'm here for it. Isaiah wrote it. You wrote a book. Okay, so here's the thing. I know that I'm like, I always talk about this book. You're tired of hearing about it. Well, our friend here said, Isaiah, I didn't know you wrote a book. And he's in the chat like, you wrote a book? So that's why we got to keep talking about it, posting about it, sharing about it. I'm going to make a bunch of funny shorts because it's like, it's hard to promote a book through shorts. It's like, all right, people are going to click off when they say, oh, come get my book. And yeah, I'm just not good at doing the sales stuff. But I'm going to do some funny short videos to get the book out there on shorts and all that good stuff. Friars Me, awesome. Thank you, Evan. All right, if you guys want to support the ministry tonight, you can. This is like a Tuesday night podcast, so this does help us continue. We do these two a week, every week, and they help us survive financially. So I'm going to give you guys the links. If you want to support and give, you can. There's the links to give. And in a little bit, we will go to Jared and Candace's stream, which is, it'll go direct you to them. I appreciate you guys so much. I hope you enjoyed my little sermon tonight. Again, the links to give are there. You can give on my website. You can become a monthly partner and all of that. Pray about becoming a partner in 2025 and helping us out. Means a lot. We're just hanging on. We're just doing it. We're going to keep doing it. It is what it is. We're just hanging on here. We appreciate you guys' support. We're going for it. Yeah, like I said, I can't see live viewers on this new update, but I actually kind of like it because it gets in my head when I'm like, oh, there's only 800 people on, and last night there was 2,000. Oh, there's 2,000 on, and last week there was 4,000. There's only 1,800. It gets in my head, and so I kind of like it. I hope they don't fix it. It's just probably better to not see how many people are watching. You guys all are valuable. You all matter. I love you all so much. Your book's coming Friday. I got my book today. Amazing. Thank you guys all that are doing reviews. Even if you, listen, don't give it a one star just to be a hater, but if you think it deserves a one star, give it a one star and tell me why. But please tell me in a way I can understand. Give me constructive criticism. Okay, spell right and use Grammarly or something. I'm buying $2. Hey, listen. This might be contraband at your church. I'm just saying you might get in trouble for having this book. This might be contraband at your church. But get one for your pastor. Get one for your pastor. Like, hey, pastor, got you a little gift. Don't be afraid of it. Thank you, Mom. My mom said, I love you, son. So proud of you. Thank you, Mom. Just tell your pastor, say, all right, don't be afraid of it. Isaiah's a great guy. The book's theologically sound. Has lots of scripture in it. Just say, pastor, just read chapter 2. Tell your pastor, say, you don't have to read chapter 1. You don't have to read chapter 3 because chapter 3 is about Christians having demons. So yeah, tell him just read chapter 2. It'll soften his heart. It's all the ministry of Jesus. The framework of the book. All right. I'm going to read every review. Not on stream, but I will read. Trust me, I'm going to be on the next few days reading every single review. So means a lot. I appreciate you guys. But yeah, tell them, be like, go read chapter 2. Don't be scared. It's all good. I really believe that this book's going to get in the hands of pastors and deliverance is going to break out in your church, in many of your churches, because it's just practical. And a lot of them won't listen to me because I'm crazy loud and like, my veins are always popping out and I talk fast. And pastors are just like, I'm scared of him. So maybe they'll like the book because the book's not me screaming. That could be cool. If your pastor already does deliverance, get it for him as a gift. It'll help. Maybe it'll answer questions about like stubborn demons, or maybe he'll learn something. I don't know. I would get it for him regardless. You're such a gift to the body of Christ, raw boldness. Thank you so much. Thank you. You guys are also encouraging. I hope I never give off. I'm just vulnerable with you guys, but I hope I never give off the like, I'm discouraged, I want to quit to you guys, because you guys are all so supportive. It's not you guys. Not you guys, ever. Audible comes out November 19th. Okay, yeah, next week. I'm not sure why the Audible takes longer, but I have recorded it and yeah, all that. I got to see who keeps calling me. I think it's, let's see. Oh, something about like Medi-Cal or Medicare. I don't know what they're talking about. Probably Kamala Harris trying to call me. Jules, I love you too. Love you, sister. Thanks for being here. My husband said, I like Isaiah even though he talks so fast. That's cool. A lot of people love me because I talk fast. A lot of people hate me because I talk fast. I like talking fast and I like listening to people that talk fast. So I don't know. If somebody talks slow, I put them on like 2x speed or 1.5. I just can't track sometimes. That's just me personally. My pastor actually knows about you, but he doesn't preach on deliverance. Maybe someday he will. Maybe someday he will. What tea are you drinking? Oh, I'm not drinking tea. I'm drinking Wata. Costco. We had a case, and I just grabbed one before I got on. Yes, Jared and Candace will be live. Again, thank you guys for supporting and giving. This is how we survive. We're crowdfunded, viewer supported. It is kind of like how it works. So all of our content is free online, and then, yeah. You like fast talking? Okay, the Q&A. I'm going to change the title because I don't want to be deceptive. Take off the Q&A, and I'll put, like, deliverance message. I don't know. And then I will do Q&A on Thursday. So don't worry. You're going to get your Q&A. All that's great. Good stuff. Your fault Kamala isn't president. I hope that's the case. I don't think that's true, but I hope it is. I think it's all of our prayers. I listen to you on 1.5 speed. Noah, what? Are you serious, bro? You talk slower when you have slower speaking guests. Well, yeah, I don't want to like overrun my guest. Nice haircut for the book review. Actually, my haircut's a couple days old, but thanks, bro. I'm going to talk faster. I'm a fast talker, so I appreciate that you are too. Made me feel not so alone. Thank you so much, Emily. Appreciate you. Revival's coming. Let's go. Thank you, Kirsten. Ellie said, I love you. I love you too, Ellie. Thank you. Laugh aloud delivers message. Right, Jake? I don't know what else to say. I talk about you to people that don't know you. Thank you so much, Naomi. I like that you speak with passion, authentic. The speed does not matter. Thank you, Daniel. Bro, you talk too slow. Thank you, Noah. I've never had anybody tell me that, so you're awesome. All right, is there a Spanish version of the book? Not yet. I'll talk to the publisher. I don't know what the process is to get a Spanish version, but I'll talk to them about that. Second book coming soon? No, I don't have a second book coming soon. I don't know. I think I might, I don't know. I don't really want to have a ghostwriter, but I might have to give someone my content and have them write for me because guys, it's like writing for me is like going and getting a root canal for like 4 hours a day. I just don't like to write. But I write all my sermons, which is bizarre, but it's just different. Writing a book is not the same as writing sermons. I'm a talk kind of faster. Thank you so much for confusing me more. Thank you, Debbie. My mom said it was the prayers of God's people crying out for mercy. Yes. The fact that Kamala is not present, it's the mercy of God. Just trust me. Trust me. Oh, you know what? I need to make sure Jordan and Candace aren't live yet. Let's see. No, they're not live yet. Okay. I forgot I didn't have the stream on. I'll type their thing when they go live, but they'll go live at some point here soon with worship and prayer. How long is the book? 200 pages. So it's a good length. It's a good length. 201 pages. So yeah, it's a good size book. It's not small. It's as big as my head, and I have a big head. Can you do self-deliverance? Yes, but it's not super effective. You know, the Breakers, thank you so much. This is amazing. Wow, thank you. My pastor, always be Pastor Isaiah. Thank you, Alejandro. It'll come easier as you continue to write. Brian, I know it did get easier as I started writing, but I just sitting down and doing it is like very, very not enjoyable for me. It's hard for me to articulate my thoughts in book form. I wouldn't want to say it's hard for me. I just don't like to. And I could do sermons and write that and do video. I'm like all in with video content. So some people that are authors struggle to do like one live stream. To me, a 2-hour live stream is easy. I talk tonight for an hour with no notes, no nothing. That's easy for me. It's hard for me to sit and write that much content. And I probably said like 10,000 words tonight, probably. So I got one of my sermons one time and it was 7,000 words, which is like a chapter of a book. So yeah, each live stream is like a chapter of a book. How'd you meet Jared? We met many, many years ago before I had kids on Instagram. And then we showed up to his house and hung out and met him. And then we've been friends ever since. You found out most pastors use a ghostwriter. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's true. But to their, to their credit, usually it's all their content. So they get all their sermon notes and they put it in book form. And a ghostwriter does that for them. So it's not terrible. But also, my first book, I was like, I don't want to have a ghostwriter. Steak and Shake or pickleball. Oh, man. Dream day is Steak and Shake and pickleball. I love Steak and Shake so much, I could cry. I went there when we went to Georgia this last time. No. I went there when we went to Chicago for Breakers, I think, didn't I? Was that Breakers? Yeah, it was. Oh, it's so good. My mouth is tingling. My taste buds are doing backflips right now. I love Steak and Shake. I had two Frisco melts. Oh, they were so good. I'm literally salivating right now thinking about it. So, and I also have an eight today. So I'm hungry. If you have a Steak and Shake nearby, go get a Frisco melt for me, please. So good. No, I didn't have a ghostwriter. No, I wrote the whole thing myself. Going to write a review for your book tonight. Thank you so much. Everybody reviewing it, thank you. If you bought on Amazon, please leave a review. Everybody in the chat does. It'll be huge. Okay, Jared and Cancer Live. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you all. Thanks for being here. And I will see you guys Thursday at noon. Okay, go here. This is where we're going. That's where we're going. Love Jared and Candace. Love you guys. Thank you for buying the book. Thank you for being here and hearing me talk about deliverance. And we'll be live again Thursday. And pray for me. Pray that I continue doing what I'm doing. God keeps giving me wisdom, revelation, knowledge. And he keeps strengthening me, encouraging me. And I keep just doing this for him. All right. Keep praying for me. Pray for my family. Pray for my wife. Pray for my kids. I love you all. Go to Jared and Candace's. They're live now. We're going to go there and pray. Go get a Frisco Mount. If you're near Steak and Shake, please go get a Frisco Mount for me. I love it so much. Please, if you're rich, come open one in Central California for me. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Have a great night. I'll see you Thursday. I'll see you literally in 2 days. Goodbye. I love you. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @IsaiahSaldivar. See you next week.